I want to thank once again our ACB media conglomerate support team. So many folks within the ACB sphere have donated their time and their resources and their expertise to support us, making sure that the good work that we do here at the Florida Council of the Blind gets spread far and wide over the stream. So thank you guys, all of you. Let's give them a loud applause, because you have to make it into the microphone so they can hear. My name is Mikey Wiseman. I'm the president of Florida Council of the Blind. I want to welcome all of you to our banquet. I know some of you have already found your way to Miss Diane at the back of the room, and some of you are, I can hear the forks hitting the salad plate. So welcome, enjoy your food. I am going to very briefly introduce the head table. Starting from my far right, we have our very honorable and esteemed invitee and guest speaker, Mr. Jeff Bishop. Next to him, we have who will forever be my president, okay? And we do have quite a few nicknames for each other, none of which are fit to be streamed, but most people do know her as Sheila Young. Next to Sheila is her lovely sister who does so much for FCB, Miss Patty Cordell. Going down, and the stock just keeps going up, folks. I just want you to know, is a gentleman who gives so much of himself to so many of us in different capacities, Mr. Dan Spoon. I call her my sister, boo. Some people call her my vice president. She's the rock that I lean on more often than I care to admit. Miss Cassandra Jesse. Next to Cassandra is an integral part of this convention. It's our podium, folks. So one round for our podium. Next to our podium, we have a gentleman who I actually acknowledged last night. He is known throughout FCB. He's known throughout ACB for just being a person that you can count on. Always got a smile on his face. Always willing to roll up his sleeves and do what needs to be done. He is also the president of our host chapter here in Jacksonville, who I'm sure we have leaned on for too many years, but they are always willing to come through, him and his team. Mr. DJ Doug. Hey. Next to him is the lovely Tony. And that's, you know, need I say more? Round of applause for Tony for making sure DJ's on point. ACB world, FCB world, we know her. We love her. She held my hand when I was a fledgling, crazy hotel coordinator. We've bumped heads, we've grown together through the years. I'm so lucky and blessed to be able to call her friend. Some folks refer to her as Shorty, but we like to call her Sally. Here's Miss Sally Benjamin. Next to Sally is my seat. And at the end of the table is a lady who is responsible for so much mayhem. Primarily, it happened about 46 years ago on August 19th, 1978. My mother, who birthed me. Miss Sophia Wise. Folks, we are very blessed to have wonderful food here and to get a lot of work done. And it's important to acknowledge those blessings. So I would ask for a moment of silence as we have a blessing for this group and the wonderful food we're about to eat. And that blessing is going to be done by my vice president, Ms. Cassandra Jess.
Father, thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Thank you for food, friend, fellowship, and family. Thank you, God, for having the ones that prepared them, all this food. And we pray that this weekend and the business meeting tomorrow, come in and do what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Cassandra. So we'll take a little break and then we'll have some announcements. Eat up, folks, and enjoy your food.
We really want to take this time to thank our 2025 Florida Council of the Blind convention sponsors. This year, I think we broke a record between corporations, associations, chapters, and our individual members and friends. We had 43 different people who sponsored our Florida Council of the Blind Convention. So give yourselves all a really big hand. So we want to start with our Platinum Light sponsor. You heard from him this morning, Peter Kay, from Spectrum Charter. And then at the $1,000 gold level, we had ES&S Boat and Lighthouse Central Florida. And now I'll turn it over to Leslie for our silver $500 sponsors.
Good evening, everybody. So the silver sponsors are Democracy Live, Disability Rights Florida, Doug Hall, Friends of Library Access, Inc., Halifax Chapter, Vanda, and Vespero. And back to Dan.
And then for our $250 bronze sponsors, we have Greater Orlando Council of the Blind, House by Lynn, we have ORCAM, and we have the Pinellas Council of the Blind. And at a bronze light at $150, we have the Tallahassee Council of the Blind. And then we had some others that sponsored ahead of the convention at the red level. Who were those, Leslie?
Thank you, Dan. So it's the Jacksonville chapter, the Manatee County Council of the Blind, and Sheila Young for red. Back to you, Dan, for some more red.
All right. Well, thank you. And then we had 25 people who sponsored individually during their registration period. And the red sponsors at a $100 level were Barbara Brown, Eugene Backey, Osla Gonzer, Ted Hinter. We had Walter Myers and also Shelley Sawyer. So thank us all our individual red sponsors. And at the white level for $50, we had Debbie Grubb. We had Bruce Hildebrand, Haiti Lear, Pam Soge, Mary Tyson, and Jason White. So James White. So thanks to all our white sponsors. And then we had a whole bunch of blue sponsors at $25. Leslie, you want to share those?
Yeah. All right, here we go. So just bear with me. I might be slow. So we had lots of people. Sally Benjamin, Tony Burrell, Paul Edwards, Jason Goldfield, Doug Hall, Doug Hanser. Mark Lear, Greg Lindberg, Rachel Schroeder. What's her name? Bonnie, I want to call her Becky. Bonnie Seeker. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Bonnie. Thank you. Connie Sims, Leslie Spoon, and Sheila Young. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody. Again, $9,675 thanks to you to help fund this convention. Thank you so, so much. And we'll be back later to do the auction with Paul Edwards and Leslie, and then also do our big 50-50 drawing and finally our CRP drawing. So, Leslie.
Just real quick, everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you for the virtual auction and the live auction tonight. We have 12 items tonight. They are on a table over to the right. They're left. Okay, I'm bad with directions. Your left, my right. So there's tons of things. Please go over and see them. Be careful. Some are breakable, a little breakable. Some, there's a glass chess set if you guys are interested in chess, and the pieces are out. So just be careful if you take your hands and the pieces start flying. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody.
Thank you all. Enjoy your rest of your meal.
Folks, it's my esteemed pleasure to hand the microphone over to our invited guest all the way from the from almost the West Coast, right? How do you like the humidity here? Yeah, something you're not used to over there. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could give a roaring, welcoming Florida Council of the Blind applause to Mr. Jeff Bishop.
Good evening, everyone. I have so much enjoyed my time here in Florida, where honestly, I don't know how you live with this humidity. Back home, I called my wife, and by the way, hello, honey. I hope you're listening. And they're probably home and getting ready for dinner as we're wrapping things up here. And she told me it was 3% humidity in Tucson. And it's 39% humidity here. So actually, you got it, that's like 3% back home, right? 39 is not bad, right? Right. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to tell some stories. And you're going to hear about my life, my journey as someone who has been blind and blind totally from birth. But it's also about you and what you can become and what you can empower yourself to be as well. Because it's all about really wanting to lift everyone up and make everyone successful inside of ACB and inside of the Florida affiliate itself. A little bit about me before I get into my speech tonight. I'm president of Blind Information Technology Specialists. Good affiliate there. And I'm really happy to do that. I've served on the board with Dan and others that are here in Florida, and Paul. And Paul is one of my mentors. And thank you, Paul, for everything that you've done for me. It's just an honor. I'm really honored to be here tonight to be among all of you. It's amazing. The love and the great feelings and support you've given to me has been outstanding, and I appreciate that. Okay, so tonight you're going to hear my story, and if you listen closely, you'll hear echoes of maybe your own. But before we tell my story, we're going to dive into the fairy tales. And everyone knows, of course, the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, right? We're not going to go through the whole thing. But, you know, Jack, his mother tells him to sell the cow and all those things. And he ends up getting some beans, and his mom gets mad. And she throws the beans out the window, and they grow into this beanstalk. And he climbs up the beanstalk, and away we go. Okay? And really, what is the purpose of Jack and the Beanstalk? It's about giving back, isn't it? It's about taking something small and creating something significant from it. So let's get started. Climbing the Beanstalk, a life of independence from the very beginning. My first memory as a child was falling down the cellar steps of my grandmother's house before we moved to Tucson when I was 2 years old. Now, why I remember that, I have no idea, but I do remember it. And that just began the journey of my hospital visits throughout my life, because I was a daredevil and did all kinds of crazy things. You'll hear more about that, and including the time that my parents got in trouble with the police department because I crashed into a police car on my bicycle. Yeah, that was a fun day. And they said, well, you had to, they told my parents, you have to pay for the damage to the police car. And my dad was like, well, you parked the police car illegally. It can't be parked on a corner. So if you want us to do that, then we'll go to the media. And they said, well, never mind. We won't charge you for the police car. So that's just one of the stories. You'll hear more of them, where my parents almost got in very serious legal trouble, all because of them treating me like every other child in the world. But it had a consequence to it, or at least almost a consequence to it. You'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. Like Jack, I've learned early in life that we have to climb in life to be able to achieve greatness. My parents taught me that I had the ability to control my own destiny and to be able to do anything that I wanted to do, even if I was blind. It didn't matter to them. It didn't matter to me. So I did all the normal things that normal children would do. I rode a bike, roller skated, skateboarded. I wasn't good at that. Did all the normal things that children did, and owned probably stock in St. Mary's Hospital, because of course, you know, all the bumps and bruises and taking out street signs and mailboxes and all those fun things, not to mention police cars. That was just part of my normal life as a child. And my parents said, listen, we're not going to stop you. One time my dad gave me a big giant football helmet. Now, for those of you that don't know what that looks like, Dan knows what that looks like, right, Dan? Yeah, big football helmet. My dad said, listen, if you're going to continue to ride your bike, you're going to wear a football helmet. And I said, but Dad, the problem is I won't be able to hear where I'm going. He says, yeah, but you won't bust up your face, right? So he says, here, put on this giant football helmet. And of course, it goes over your head, over your ears, big old faceplate on the thing, right? Like big giant thing, big giant helmet. He says, okay, have a good time. See you later. That thing lasted about 30 seconds. We had a brick wall in the backyard of our house, and I went speeding. I never believed in going slow. I never ever did believe in that. So I figured, you know, if you're going to do something, do it fast. Go fast. And so I was riding my bike down the middle of the street and I hit a rock and went flipped up onto the curb and slammed my face into the back wall and broke the faceplate off the helmet. And my dad said, you don't have to wear the helmet anymore. Okay. So, you know, my parents told me climb. And you know, we in ACB believe in the same thing. We believe in independence and giving people the dignity to be able to live their own life the way that they see fit. It's one of the real core values of our organization. Facing giants and overcoming barriers of innovation. You know, when I first started my career in 1987, I was a documentation specialist, and then I started doing programming. And in 1995, I started to work at Microsoft Corporation supporting Microsoft Access. Now, one of the gems of this conference today was me seeing my longtime mentor, Ted Henter. And Ted, if you're here, I hope you're here. He is here. Oh, that's great. One of my mentors, Ted Henter, who I dearly love and respect and honor for the things that he's given to our industry. And I truly believe that if it was not for him, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't have two children. I wouldn't have my wife, you know, and the support of my family and not be as successful as I have been. So everybody give a big hand to Ted because, wow. Okay. When JAWS for Windows 1.0 came out, of course, I started with JAWS for DOS. Ted, we're going to make you feel old. So when JAWS for Windows 1.0 came out, I worked with Henter Joyce at the time. And I said, listen, I have to be able to support Microsoft Access. And Ted's going, oh, my God. You know, Microsoft Access, that thing's not accessible at all, right? So how do we accomplish that? And so all of the people that were working at Microsoft at the time were going to be supporting customers on Windows 95. And of course, JAWS for Windows 1.0 what doesn't support Windows 95 yet. It supported the Windows 3.11 for work groups. So I was the only one on staff using Windows 3.11 for work groups. And Microsoft Access version 4.2, which of course had all kinds of accessibility challenges. And the only reason I bring this up is because it really taught me how to really think outside the box in a career where you had to not believe, you had to rely on others because there's no I in team, right? You had to rely on others to be able to make greatness. So we developed, Jim Lucy was his name, and he and I developed, Jim did most of the work, honestly, because it had to get done faster. But along with his guidance and along with what I wanted to see envisioned, we created a set of Microsoft forms, which made all of Microsoft Access, at least the visual pieces where you had to click and drag with the mouse and do those things that we couldn't do at the time, completely accessible. And that's how I supported Microsoft Access. And I tell people that story and they're like, what, how did you even accomplish that? And that went up throughout the company and I was invited up to Redmond and gave a presentation to executives at Microsoft. And that started the ball rolling in office accessibility, at least at some level. So that's where it started for me. it proves, you know, that if you have great innovation and great people to work with you, you can accomplish anything. We've proven that accessibility isn't a favor, it's a form of excellence, okay? Then, well, you know, I was an ACB for quite a while, and we had to take a bold step with Microsoft in about 2015. This is when Windows decided to upgrade to Windows 10. And all of you probably remember this, when we had inaccessible web browsers and we had inaccessible mail clients and you couldn't read PDF documents. So in combination with leaders within ACB, we filed an FCC complaint. And this was not to punish Microsoft, but to move them forward. This is what the purpose of this was. Because honestly, I don't believe in lawsuits personally. I don't think they serve a purpose. I think it's better to talk as much as you can. And this was the vehicle we chose to use to do that. I'll tell you something right now. This was an amazing growth opportunity for me, because I was placed into a situation where Microsoft came to me and said, well, what are we going to do to resolve it? So I had to speak on behalf of all of the membership to say, well, here's what you need to do. And it was scary, because there were lawyers and there were, you know, high-end people in that meeting. And me and Eric Bridges at the time were sitting there, and Eric's like, I don't know, you tell them what to do. I don't know, I have no idea. You tell them what to do. So that's what I did. And I really tried to represent all of us in that room to be able to make a difference. And I can tell you with a surety that it made a difference, not only at the time, but for the future of where Windows accessibility moved forward from that point. Leadership is not always that dramatic, though. Sometimes it's quiet. You know, I've had to work on projects where, you know, man, I didn't feel like I would be able to succeed. And it took great mentors. And one of the things I want to leave with you here tonight is that if you don't have good mentors in your life, get them. Get them. Look for them and cherish them. They're very, very important. They'll make a difference in your life. Okay. One of the things about Jack and the Beanstalk that we learn about is it's about giving and not hoarding. Just like Jack, I brought down treasures from my climbs. There was the harp. The harp really represented for me mentoring and giving back to others. This has always been something that I firmly believe in making sure that people are empowered to achieve great things by teaching and being there for them and giving them the ability to learn and grow however they wish to do that, in whatever ways they wish to do that in their life. When I became president of BITS, we had 179 members. And at the end of last year, we had 1,100. Now, I'm not bragging about that, but what we did to do that growth was we gave away free memberships. And people are thinking, why? God, how did you manage that? Well, we made more money in dues that year than we ever made in the history of the organization, well over $6,000. And we did it by giving back. And we took BITS to a position where we were teaching and mentoring people. So we have literally taught over 1,000 blind and low vision people through for no cost except for joining the organization in all kinds of things, from Python and software development to Office 365, where we had 450 people in the class, and as well as holding office hours and doing all those kind of fun things. It was a really interesting learning experience. And right now we're doing web accessibility and WordPress, and we have about 300 people enrolled in that. So it has been an interesting journey, and it's been really fun to give back. So the goose is really the growth that we've had in BITS. And finally, the golden egg is changing people's worlds and changing people's lives by the work that we've done. I won't give names here today, but one of the people in our Python class wrote to me about four months or so after the course completed and said, you've changed my life. I was a computer science major. I struggled with this because I was not able to be taught in ways that I could understand from a blind or low vision perspective. And now I'm working at NOAA doing high-end development with large language models and AI using Python. Okay, and that's all because of the work we did in Bits. Now, I didn't do it alone. It took a team, right? We don't do things alone. We do them with a team of people. And those are the, you know, it's not the point of what you take away from the castle. It's what you bring back to the village that's most important. Now, I want to talk a little bit about angels among us. And these aren't the angels that live in pews or do you go and see at churches. And these are not the angels that we celebrate at convention. But these are the angels among us. In fact, you're probably sitting next to one right now. I know I'm sitting next to one or was sitting next to one. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a few people that were really near and dear to me. And again, I'm going to reflect back about my parents. My parents, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them, just from the standpoint of them truly letting me be the person that I wanted to be as an individual. You know, and I'm thankful for that. It was a really interesting time. You know, I pretty much destroyed my neighborhood at some levels of respect, or at least destroyed my teeth at times too by flying and landing in a pile of rocks with my braces. That was a good day. But the one that I think shocked everybody was when one of our neighbors, and to this day we still don't know who it was, decided to call Child Protective Services on my parents. They called CPS and said, the Bishop family is letting their blind child do things that he should not be doing because he's going to kill himself. Okay? And so, you know, they never call, by the way. They just show up at the house. So I wasn't there at the time, but my parents told me about this later. So this lady shows up at the house, and my parents come out to the driveway, and they're talking, you know. And now, one of the things about children that I've noticed these days is children these days don't play outside, do they? They just stay inside. They play video games, or they read books, or they don't read either, do they, really? Yeah, I don't know. It's sad. It's unfortunate. When I was a child, we got up at 6 in the morning. We didn't come home until 8 o'clock at night because, you know, that's the way it was, right? So I don't know about you guys, but sound was always a really interesting thing. And you'll understand why I'm bringing this up in just a minute. But did you ever put cards in the spikes of your bike? Yeah, wasn't that the greatest thing? And you know, the chem cards were the best because they were plastic and they would last forever. So you could use them for weeks and weeks, and then they were wonderful, and they made the coolest sound. You know, they were awesome. They were amazing. Okay, so, and I was stupid enough to do this. And so, you know, the CPS lady's talking to my parents, and they're like, well, we've gotten complaints, you know, that your son has knocked down street signs and mailboxes and hit other people's cars with their bike. And my dad said, yeah, and I pay for all those things. It's not a problem, right? And she goes, well, no, but he's going to get hurt. And so, you know, and again, I don't believe in doing anything slow. And so I'm hauling like a bat out of Hades. I guess I should say it that way, right? So I'm flying down the street. And of course, you can hear the bike coming way far away because it's, you know, the cards and the spikes. And my dad just is grinning at this CPS person, right? And so he knows it's me because there weren't that many people in the neighborhood that did this, because who else, what other than the blind person would put spike, you know, cards in the spikes of their bike and, you know, hear weird sounds coming from it. So here I come, and I'm flying around the corner. Now, I didn't know that her car was parked by the house. So I barely missed the car. And I'm flying down the road. And this lady's like, oh, my God, who was that? And my dad said, well, that was Jeff living his life. The lady got in the car and left. Okay? That was my parents, and that was me. Okay? So, yeah, interesting times. My children, I've learned more from living my life from my children than I think I've ever learned from anyone else. My son David is at home with my wife at the moment, And my other son, Brian, he is a data analyst, works for Intuit, and makes way more money than I've ever made at his age, and is doing amazingly well. He's doing really, really great. But I had to learn patience. Sometimes that was difficult. We had a really colicky first child, and that drove me a little crazy because I wasn't used to that. And Carrie came from just an amazingly great family and large family, and so, you know, she had a lot more patience than I did. And so again, I had to learn a lot from my kids, and it was just amazing. But the most I've learned was from my wife. And what do we do as men? What do we do when we're faced with a challenge that our wives are facing? What do we do? What do we generally do? Yeah, we want to solve all the world's problems for them, right? We're problem solvers, or at least we think we are. Okay. Now, about 11 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And by the way, ladies, never, I don't mean to get personal here, but please never, ever, 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 ever miss a mammogram, ever, because it probably wouldn't have gotten as severe as it did for Carrie if she didn't miss one. And I remember the call, and they said, listen, you need to come into the doctor's office, and you need to bring your husband with you. So that's never good, right? That's never a good thing. And we knew there was this chance that this is maybe going to happen. So we came in, and they said, yes, your wife has breast cancer. So I went into immediate action mode. Let's just solve this. We're going to cure it. We're going to do everything we can to possibly, you know, make a difference and do whatever we have to do. So I was a nut, calling the insurance company 2 and 3 times a day and all of that, until I got put in my place by my wife. Okay? Because women are truly the angels among us that we live with. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here, men. We would not be here. Okay? So my wife had surgery, and what was supposed to be a 3-hour surgery took almost 8 hours. And my dad was with me, and the doctor came out, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and she goes, Mr. Bishop, you need to sit down. And she took my hands, and she told me, you know, how scary it was. They said, well, your wife has stage 2B cancer. It spread to her lymph nodes, you know, da-da-da-da-da. It took a while because we had to keep cutting and remove things and get the cancer out and all of those things. Anyway, so I became a wreck. Many people probably don't know this, but I'm actually a pretty sensitive guy. I'm not afraid of showing emotion necessarily. But I'm also one that is, especially if it's something that's really important to me, I tend not to be able to react well to it. Right. So, we end up going up to the hospital room, and there's a reason why I'm telling it this way. So just hang in there. So we go up to the hospital room, and and I'm a wreck. In fact, to the point where, you know, they told me, listen, if you don't calm down, we may have to, you know, admit you, right? Because I was a wreck. So then an angel called. I won't mention names here, but the person used to live in Florida, and she lives in another state now. But she was an ACB member, and she was an angel who was there for me. She had no idea what was going on or what was happening in my life at that time and exactly what was happening at the moment. But she was there, and I'm appreciative of that, because that was someone that really helped center me. What really centered me was when I went back into the room, because they wouldn't let me go in there until I sort of calmed down a little bit. And I still wasn't that calm, but I was at least better. And Carrie's laying there in the bed, you know, and she goes, hey, honey, come here. And I said, okay. And she goes, and she took my hand, and she says, listen, what's important is not me. What's important is the family. And it doesn't matter what happens to me, because I know where I'm going. So what's most important is that you and the children are safe, happy, and that you're going to be okay. So let's focus on the family and not on me. And I'll tell you something. It took a woman like that to put me in my place to set me straight. So family and foundations is truly where leadership begins. And that's also true in ACB. Dan has been a very influential person in my life from a leadership perspective. And sometimes things have been a little crazy at times. But I've grown to love and respect Dan for the work that he's done in guiding me, and where sometimes, you know, we all don't have to agree on things, but there are reasons why things happen and they make you stronger through that process. I tend to be one where if I believe in a team, I will protect them at no cost. And sometimes that gets me in trouble. Okay. And I've had to learn that. And sometimes I've had to learn that the hard way. But I'm thankful for the courage, the love, and the respect, and the honor that was shown to me, and the compassion as well from Dan and others here in Florida that have helped me grow as an individual too. Okay? My parents taught me to pause and think, and also to say when I'm sorry. And to count to 10. Sometimes that's a little harder for me, but I'm learning that, and I'm getting better at it all the time, which is good, okay? Leadership doesn't begin on a microphone. It starts in the living room, in the hospital room, or a late night phone call. That's where our values get shaped. Every person's value and contribution matters. You know, all of you out here, maybe you're not leading a committee. Maybe you're not in leadership of a board, or maybe, you know, you're just a new member to the Florida Council. But if you've encouraged someone, invited someone, then you're a leader too. Okay? It doesn't matter, right? It's about what you're attempting to give back. I encourage each and every one of you to not be a has-been, right? Going back to the whole Jack and the Beanstalk thing. Remember here that we're here to leave things better than we found them when we arrived here on the earth, right? We don't need more resumes. We need more kindness. We need more how can we help each other, okay? So what do I want to leave behind? Well, I don't want to leave a title or a plaque. I want to be remembered as a has-been as well. Not the forgotten kind, but the kind that planted something, that took risks, that brought treasures down from the clouds, and really gave, you know, something to other people. That's the kind of legacy that ACB, you know, wishes to bring forward for everyone and all of its members. And that's the kind of person that I strive to be, with all my imperfections and all. It's what I strive to be. I'm going to close here tonight in talking a little bit about ACB core values and what they mean in reference to all of this together for all of us. We have a number of them in ACB, and I changed them a little bit here to meet sort of the context of the speech tonight. But let's start with independence. It's the ability to chart our own course, whatever that might be. Whatever your dreams are, believe in them. Seek out mentors. And truly wish to be the best that you can be. And if you need help, it's okay. It's okay. We all need help at times. And that's where angels step in. You know, there's a song by Janis Kapp Perry, Where is Heaven? And the end of the song says, heaven isn't in the clouds. It's where you are among the people that love you the most. Okay? Integrity. Leading with honesty, even if it's hard. This is something that I firmly believe in, and I think it's something that we all should strive to do, because it's what builds character and what builds strength in each and every one of us. Okay, collaboration. Knowing that we're stronger if we build together. We're a family here, all of us, one another. We're all of a family, and that's why we're all here, because we're wanting to achieve something special. And we're all doing it. Every single hand is doing that. listen to the small, meek voice or the really loud voice, doesn't matter. Every person has something to give. Listen to those voices, everyone, and make sure that each of those individuals has the ability to give back. Strive to look for those people so that they can give back too. Sometimes it may take encouragement, but that's okay. Initiative, climbing when no one else dares to. We've done a lot of things in ACB, but really the most important things are what you individually do for yourselves, because it's how you give back. So continue to climb, everyone. Reach into the castle and bring back those golden treasures for yourselves to be able to give back to others. And finally, compassion. Becoming the angel that someone else needs. You know, we all need angels among us. And someday you're going to need one. So remember that and be an angel for someone too. Those are really important. Let's not just remember these values. Let's be them. Let's keep climbing, keep planting, and keep showing up for one another, especially for those that are a little bit afraid of taking that first step. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight and the wonderful time that we've had together this weekend. I really very much appreciate each and every one of you, and I wish you a great evening. Thank you.
I almost ended up with our invited speaker on my lap because, as you know, in Florida, we are very hospitable, so I was sitting in his chair keeping it warm for him. You know, I didn't want our 38% humidity to affect. You need to come back when it's like at 60. Yeah, when just taking two steps is like a workout. Folks, Jeff came all the way from almost across the country. He has a very early morning flight tomorrow, and his speech really did resonate and touch a lot of nerves. And you could tell he gave Florida Council of Blind some attention in putting it all together for us, and he's done so much over the weekend. Let's give him a resounding, appreciative applause. Thank you, Jeff. Really, thank you very much. Folks, I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Spoon and a few other folks that are going to keep us entertained. Everybody reach back, reach deep into your wallets, your hearts, and get ready to show some support. Show your love in a green way.
Thank you, Mikey. Just a moment of personal privilege. I just want to thank Jeff so much for his speech tonight. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. And it reminded me of just one story inside of the American Council of the Blind. And it touches so many people that have been a part of the Florida Council of the Blind and Jeff, who's here today. But Paul Edwards, you're out there. What year did we get started with ACB Radio? Was it 2000 when Paul, 1999, 2000, when Paul was president of the American Council of the Blind, and he got an idea that, you know, hey, we should really consider, you know, having an internet radio station. We could do this. And Jonathan Mosen kind of got involved, right, Jeff, and Paul, and kind of got us started. And Rachel Schroeder and the role she played, and Larry Turnbull, one of our longtime members, and all the work, all these angels, Debbie Hazelton and her time with ACB Radio. And then as we moved along, we rebranded it as ACB Media Network. Now we have 10 internet radio stations. We have amazing content that comes from our community and all of these, Florida Council Blind and other affiliate conventions all across the country and our business meetings. Now we not only have 10 internet radio stations, you can listen to them on your Amazon device. And not only that, we now take all of this content and we podcast it down on Pinecast, and there's over 300,000 downloads a year of this material that's available on podcast. So from Paul Edwards and Jeff Bishop and the team having an idea 25 years ago, and all the people who've come together to make that happen, that's just one small thing that Jeff was talking about. When everybody comes together and works, you know, unselfishly to try to make something better. And so thank you. Thank you for that and so much more, Jeff and Paul and everybody that's been involved in that. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dan, Leslie, Jeff, all of our auction donors, all, more importantly, all of our auction bidders. Folks, as you can tell, Florida Council of the Blind is a proud hot mess, honey. We make mistakes, we forget things, but we keep it moving and we get it done. For those of you participating in the room, for those of you listening to us on Zoom, I really do hope that we have provided you an iota of entertainment tonight. This room, the energy has been great. I really want to thank everyone who has been involved, Dan and Leslie, for rounding up our auction items. The folks in the room who have so generously opened up their wallets and come through to support the good work that we do. Paul Edwards for his entertainment and description. It really does take a village, folks. They make my life real easy, so I hope all of you have a good night. Short after this, for those of you who are here in person, the hospitality suite is open. I believe they're having Battle of the Sexes, right? Yeah. So that should be some healthy competition here. And again, thank you all for coming. Thank you for supporting. And we wish you the best. And we will see you next year. Have a good night.